Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the fourth day of March, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Everything But Yahweh Our Father Is a Lie. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumain, welcome to the program. Cumri Ambeth. Callers will be welcome after this introductory portion of the program. We do ask that you be mindful of others who may be on the call. Try not to walk over each other. Also, be aware of your language. We are in the question and answer mode, which means people are automatically muted as they join our call until such time as I am signaled by them. If they are using their phones, it would be using star 6. If you're on a computer, it's the icon labeled ask a question, and that will let me know that you wish to be unmuted. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's Pastor Dan with no spaces or special characters, just plain old pastordan.net. Our verse for tonight is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For Yahweh, your Elohim God, is with you wherever you go. And boy, if we don't need that now, more than ever. Now, I was just a little bit late getting started here tonight, and that's because the computer that I'm using, again, is borrowed, and it was acting strange, so I ran a scan on it and found 32 different malware programs running on it, so that would explain why it was not doing such a hot job. And to get rid of the malware, of course, you have to quarantine it and then restart the computer, and sure enough, Murphy's Law does take effect, and it was causing some glitches before startup, and I was just barely able to get everything fired up and running here fairly close to 8 o'clock, but it was nip and tuck? It was right up to the line to do that. So again, I do apologize. Usually I'm pretty punctual, and I do apologize for that. Yes, I'm still on the road, still using borrowed equipment. In fact, this machine is running on Windows 7, which, for you folks that know anything at all about operating systems, that baby has been out of date for quite some time. In fact, notice just came around recently that Microsoft no longer supports Windows 7. So that shows you how old this package is. So a lot going on. I'm trying to stay up with everything so that I can pass information on to you folks. I suppose one of my primary jobs is trying to stay as above it all and positive as I can. Of course, on the program Sunday, that was difficult due to some things that were going on. And again, I can't necessarily be that way every single call as far as being positive and everything else, but every now and then, life does affect us all, including myself. And again, I apologize if that was not what you were expecting. However, it is a live program, and we are people, and things do happen to us, don't they? But this world is getting nuttier by the hour. It used to be nuttier by the year, nuttier by the month, by the week, by the day. Now we've almost got to the point where it's nuttier by the hour within the day. So those are all indications that we're coming very, very close to the judgment period that was talked about in Scripture, the end of this earth age and all of this complete insanity that we see around us, and the establishment of Father's kingdom. Now, how that all comes about play by play, day by day, I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you that. All I know is I see a tremendous amount of very disturbing things going on. I am told that in the background, good things are happening. However, they're not evident. They have not, quote, manifested themselves. And, you know, we do know that the scripture says that the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh, the sons of God, to be manifested. Well, the whole world is in travail, all right. Travail is, of course, the Greek word that's translated from is referring to the pain that is very, very similar to the pain that a woman experiences that is giving birth to a child. So if you can picture that, that's what we're going through, okay? It's painful. You know it's a good thing, but it's painful to go through it. I've been through it 6 times, not personally, but a part of it, with my children being born. And it's a very anxious period of time for everybody, not just mom, who's going through the physical part of it, but for the rest of us, it's the emotional and the consternation that comes with it, that you want everything to come out right for the child and the mom. You're anxious, but at the same time fearful. So it's very similar, what we're going through, to the process of delivering a child. And the Father wants us to realize that, as in the case of having a child, the moment, almost the very moment, the baby comes into the world and is laid on mama's chest for the first time, from that moment on, the pain that you just went through becomes almost a distant memory. At least that was the personal experience that I went through, and the women involved said very similar things. That yes, it was painful, it was a struggle, it was an effort. However, the reward being the healthy baby laying on your chest, it's worth it. And that pain in that process becomes a memory from that point on. So it's a little bit like what we're going through right now. This is a period of consternation for all of us because there are so many wicked things going on. There seems to be so few people that even give a darn. But then again, the Father told us that's exactly how this would be, didn't he? He said many would give up hope. There would be many that would even expire. They would die. They would perish due to faintness of heart. So we should not be that surprised that the nuttiness is as bad as it is, right? So according to the writers of the Gospels and the prophets, this period of time, as horrendous as it is that painful travail that the world will go through waiting for the man, the men of Yahweh to be manifested. Well, that's you and me, folks. Okay? The old saying, evil prevails. Why? Because good men do nothing, okay? The good men have been sitting on their butts for a very long time and have not taken part in this world, whether it's due to lack of interest, lack of time, just don't want to get your hands dirty, whatever. The righteous have been sitting back, and the wicked have just literally taken total control of this world. Well, the answer to fight that evil is that the army of Yahweh has to manifest. It has to become seen, known, felt. Mao Zedong, the absolute murderous dictator of communist China, said it many years ago that political power comes from the end of a rifle. Okay, what that meant was is physical force and violence. That's what the communists admit to. And we do know that communism is a Jewish construct. It was from Marx and Engels that the very idea of Marxism and communism came about through the Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. And Jews have been behind communism ever since. Okay, the Russian Revolution, which was not Russian, but actually a Bolshevik Jew revolution, was financed by these same creatures that walk amongst us in shoe leather. pretending to be one of us, just like they pretend to be one of the sheep, when in fact they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And because of their nefarious activities, this world is in travail, and they are indeed the root of the tree of evil that Henry David Thoreau talked about in his quote, that for every 1,000 people swinging at the branches of this evil tree, there's only one, meaning 0.1% of the people who are trying to uproot this wicked tree and all of its manifestations in this world. So as we look around this world and all the nuttiness, from the transgenderism, the gay agenda, the gender bending and the binary, whatever they want to call it, where you can choose your sex, you name it. I mean, the insanity is everywhere. And all of this stuff are branches on this tree of evil. So we get upset about the money system, the tax system, the corrupt governments, but they're all branches. Every bit of this is branches. The no-win wars that General Smedley Butler wrote about and talked about, and General Patton, General MacArthur, many other admirals and generals, by the way, have also stated very similar things. People, high-level government jobs and in the military, have tried to tell us over the years, but we weren't paying attention. And so this continual process of degradation has gone on unabated, because the righteous have basically just sidestepped the whole issue and decided to set this one out, I guess. That's what's in their heads. But the unfortunate thing for you folks that just don't want to get involved, you lukewarm individuals out there, that's not an option. Father made it very, very clear that the idea of sitting on the fence and staying lukewarm is no longer an option at this point in time. So you're either going to get involved and be part of the solution, or you will perish with the goats and the rest of the lukewarm when his judgments come down upon this earth in the very near future. So big, big decision time. Now, we've been talking about this off and on for 20 years, about the preparations mentally, physically, spiritually, the fact that things were going to continue to disintegrate, the wicked would rise up very high. We've talked about it for 20 years. We've had thousands of guests, thousands of hours to discuss these things, getting back to basics, having some supplies on hand. Look what's happening with this so-called illness that they're claiming is a pandemic, which is ludicrous, unbelievable. Even if you go by their numbers, if they are legitimate, I mean, they're laughable. It's absolutely laughable. And it goes to show you the mental weakness of most people, that this thing is on its face a nothing burger. And yet people are running out to get masks and supplies. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't know the nature of a virus. They don't know how they act. They don't know how they act in the body. They don't know that there's various types of viruses. All they hear is the word virus and some stooge claiming to be an expert saying, this could be a pandemic. You see the memories of people, how short they are? Their attention spans are amazingly short. We've been down this road numerous times in just my lifetime. Okay? It's the same thing. You need to sit back, relax, take a deep breath, say a prayer if you have to. Get with the Father, allow the Holy Spirit to minister unto you, and let you know that He is in control, as always. Even with this craziness that's going on, ultimately He's in control. And as we've read many times, the various passages that where the Father has told these New World Order types, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Who are His anointed? Now, we have some that are anointed to higher office amongst our people, but are not His sons and daughters anointed with the Holy Spirit? touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets. What's the office of the prophet? To represent the Father to the people. Okay, the priest of the Old Testament was to present the people to the Father. He was an intercessory for the people. That was no longer necessary with the coming of Yeshua. Okay, so that job is gone. We ourselves are the priests. We intercede for ourselves directly with the Father. That was the beauty of it. That was the wondrous time that Messiah's coming brought to us. A direct relationship with our Father. No intercessory needed. But the job of the prophet is still there. Because the people forget. Job of the prophet, just as it says in Malachi chapter 4, is especially the prophet at this particular point in time, his job is to come in the spirit of Elijah. And one of the clues as to what he's going to do is reunite our people. Turn the fathers to the children, to the descendants, to the flesh and blood, to the family ties. There is a mistranslation on the second part of that where it says, the children turn the children's heart to their fathers. That's not what it says. What it says is the fellow Israelites turn the fellow Israelite neighbors and our cousins around this earth to each other. In other words, honor the proverb where the father says that you are to maintain the fellowship of brothers, the brotherhood of our people, our racial family. You are to maintain that. And he curses. He actually calls it an abomination. One of the seven things in Proverbs, in that verse, there's seven things that the Father abhors. And I hope you understand what that word means. It's a very special kind of enmity, a very special kind of hatred to abhor. There's seven things that he abhors, and one of them is causing discord amongst the brethren. That's how important it is that we maintain our fellowship as brothers and sisters in this large family that we belong to. So a lot of this has got to do with that, and the Father has said that he will not allow the wicked to harm his children. Now, why is that? Well, first of all, he promised it, so he honors his promises, unlike a lot of our people. He honors his promises, and it's also for his own glory, because what would the world say if his sons and daughters were falling to the side by the thousands, as Psalm 91 talks about? What if his children are falling over with the same problems that the rest of the world are? How does that make Yahweh be glorified and honored? That's why it says in Psalm 91, you'll see the wicked fall by the thousands on one side and 10,000 on the other. That's not literal, but it's talking about the fact large numbers of people are going to fall. Are they not falling now? As you and I sit here tonight, are not members of your family and your circle of friends and coworkers and all that, are they not falling right now? I know I've lost family members over the last 5 years. Far more than I care to talk about. And friends, and associates, and neighbors. Where I live, the ambulance is coming in to take somebody out on stretchers, and eventually they never come back, all too often. And it's often for things that should not be lethal. And this so-called virus that everybody's upset about, it's no different than a few months ago when they wanted everybody to believe that the measles was something to run out and get vaccinated for. Why would you do that? Why on God's green earth would you get a vaccine to stop getting the measles? Why would you do that? When just a couple generations ago, when I was a lad, all the children got the measles. Almost every child got the measles. Every child. And yet the earth's population has exploded, and the measles is still here. So where is this big pandemic because of the measles? Why is that a reason to be fearful and run out and stick a poison in your arm? If you trust the Father, you would not fall for that kind of stuff. And that's the same thing that's happening right now. We're getting conflicting information over this so-called mystery virus. It's a bioweapon. It's this, it's that. Now I heard tonight they're starting to waffle on the fact that it's a virus because that's not holding water. And there's no reason whatsoever why you would want to quarantine people or isolate them because of a virus that cannot be transmitted by handling cash, because they want to try to take your cash away. So now they're trying to say it's a bacteria. You see how the story changes? You know, these people can't get their crap in one sock to save their ass. It's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. But the point of it is that you and I, folks, should not be falling for any of this stuff. Just take a deep breath, sit down, relax, think about logically what you're hearing and seeing. A good thing to do is turn off your flat screen. If it's getting to you that bad, you're watching too much television and listening to too many of these morons spread the fake news and the agenda. This is all an agenda. It's all part of herding the sheep, herding the cattle. That's what the Jews call us, you know, goyim, which is just a member of a herd. And they're treating you just like a herd animal, and they're just using the media and the government and the CDC and the Chinese and all these other people. They're all players. They're all part of it. Anywhere the Jews' money goes, they're players, all right? If the Jew international bankers are involved in any way, shape, or form, they're driving the bus. Period. It won't be until Father enforces Obadiah 18, Malachi chapter 4, and Revelation, where he brings this Babylonian money system to its knees. It's not going to change. Okay? Trump's not going to make any difference. Nobody in the White House is going to make any difference, because the people really in charge are not in the White House. They're not in the Kremlin. They're not in Beijing. The people that are running this circus that we're part of, you don't see their pictures most of the time. The ultra-rich that are part of this Babylonian system, and they're also very Luciferian and satanic. And Father says that he will crush this system. And at the same time, he will manifest his children, that's those that truly believe, into a vast and mighty army. That's Ezekiel chapter 37. A vast and mighty army will come up out of that what? Valley of dead and dry bones. What is that representative of? Spiritually dead people. Zombies. Where do you think the whole notion of a zombie came from? It's not literally the walking dead. That's ludicrous. People were put in the ground, they don't come up out of the ground. Okay? That's just Hollywood running off with fantasy lands and getting your head full of absolutely stupid notions. A zombie, the whole idea behind a zombie and werewolves and vampires and all that actually goes back to biblical teachings, okay? That's why silver was a guard against these evils. Well, what's silver in the real world? It is the only element known to man that kills every known virus, fungus, bacteria that can invade your body and harm you. Every single one. And it does it on contact, instantly. Amazing, isn't it? Father, even though there's many things here that can hurt people, including these wicked individuals, he also gives you a remedy. He gives you a remedy. It's just you have to have faith, and you have to do a little digging to find out what those remedies are. But they're all around you, in the elements, in the plants, in the fruits, in the nuts, in the trees, in the bushes. Your food is your medicine. Your food and these elements like silver. They protect you from the evil. So this whole concept of a zombie is just a spiritually dead person. They're a bag of bones. Okay, bag of bones. That's all they are. There's no life in them. They're spiritually dead. They're just going through the motions of living a life, waiting to die. Really, they don't care about a hereafter. They don't care about what they're going to do here. That's pretty much all there. That's all there is. So that's the biblical term for that would be a zombie, and that's what the Ezekiel passage is talking about. The valley of dead and dry bones. It's spiritually dead people. But Father's going to take an element of our people who are like that, spiritually dead, and he's going to revive them because they're going to realize things are very, very serious. And I hope people do understand just how serious things are right now. They're going to see how serious this is and realize that repentance is needed. Repentance is what? Rethinking, reprioritizing. In other words, instead of putting Yahweh and his law at the back of your priority list, you bring it up to the front. And as soon as you make Yahweh number one, all the lies and deceptions have much less effect on you. Okay, I've had, like, for instance, talking to some folks today on the phone, the topic of insurance, and particularly health insurance, came up. And I made a statement that I don't own health insurance. I haven't bought health insurance. Actually, I've never bought health insurance. The only health insurance I ever had was part of an employment package way back in the 1970s. I didn't ask for it. It was part of the employment package. So, but as soon as I went on the road as a contractor, typically contractors don't have insurance as part of their payment. They just get paid, and you're supposed to get it on your own. Once I reached that point, I didn't ever spend money on health insurance. Ever. And I don't intend to. And people think I'm crazy. But I don't look at it that way at all. It's I have faith in the Father and faith in the fact that if I do the things I'm supposed to do to maintain my health, if I keep the poisons out and put the very best foods and supplements in, that the body will take care of the rest, just as our Heavenly Father designed us to do, just as the Scriptures refer to it, and just as the natural paths will tell you, the honest ones, the biblical ones. There are some out there that you got to be careful of, just like anything, whether it's a car mechanic, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, you know, there's some good ones, and there's some that maybe aren't so good. Well, same thing in the world of naturopathy, and the same thing in the world of believers. You have to have some discernment. You can't sit back and not be involved. You can't expect others to do your work for you. The Father says you have to be involved. You have to educate yourself. You have to be aware of what's around you. And true, you don't know everything. None of us know everything. But again, he gave us a hint on how we get through this by saying in Proverbs, in the counsel of many, there is victory. In the counsel of many, there is victory. Does that sound familiar? And well, who's the counsel of many? Well, everybody here tonight with me are part of the council. The folks that I communicate with almost on a daily basis, they're part of the council. The friends of mine that I don't get a chance to communicate with very much, but we do get together probably once a week or every other week, and they're part of the council. And I have hundreds and hundreds that I communicate with via electronic means. Possibly even thousands, but definitely in the hundreds, okay? Daily. And they all reinforce what I know, and I help reinforce what they know. It's called networking. And that's what the Father wants us to do. That's part of what all of this is all about. We have this horrendous situation, both the economy, health, governments, banking, medical, all these things are corrupt as hell. All of them are falling apart, especially as the light of truth is being shown on them and they're being exposed for their nefarious activities. But what he wants you to do is not panic. What he wants you to do is reach out and communicate with one another, especially those that you have the discernment to figure out that they're truth tellers. Not that they're perfect now, don't get me wrong. There is no perfect person. The last one that was perfect, we allowed the Jews to crucify 2,000 years ago. So there is no perfect. However, you can test the spirits and you can also test the motives. In other words, judge them by their fruits. You can test whether somebody comes to you with honesty and integrity, or are they players and just handing you a line because they have an agenda, okay? You have to be able to discern that. And most of you do, okay? But every now and then we have to lift each other up, and every now and then we all have a bad day, just like I did on Sunday. And many of our brothers and sisters jumped in there to lift me up and give me encouragement and everything. That's just exactly how it's supposed to work. Okay, we're not an island unto ourselves. We're not supposed to go through this world completely isolated as if we can do it all by ourselves. We should reach out to each other. That's discipleship. That's brotherhood. And as we do that more and more, as we learn who we can trust and we reach out and we share feelings and we share visions and we share ideas, we become a cohesive unit that can get through anything. Much like the people that have been feeding me, especially those with a medical background, all the information about this so-called scare tactic that's going out, the fear porn. So I haven't feared anything about this so-called virus, bacteria, whatever it is, the latest bug du jour. I don't fear anything about it at all. Why? Because I've got the best defense there is, my immune system. I'll work on keeping my immune system up. Yep, I will do that, and I will talk to people about things that might do better and things I can do to make it even more powerful, things like that. But I'm not going to buy into this fear porn garbage, and I would advise you not to fall into it either. But you still need to do the things to keep your defenses at a maximum level, because there's germs everywhere every day. You can't get rid of them, ever. That day will never come as long as we walk this earth. There will always be bacteria, fungus, germs, viruses. Most of them aren't going to do anything to you. Your body's got them all inside there. You've got them all in there. Every single day, you have things that could potentially harm you, and your body fends them off. There's a war going on within you every single day. And your body wins the battle 99.9% of the time, if you're doing the right things. And occasionally, you will get ill. But again, just like I found out, the United States Air Force pumped me full of the swine flu vaccine and a bunch of other vaccines when I first enlisted, because I was young and dumb and I didn't know any better. And sure enough, I got sick immediately, and I got sick twice a year, every year after that, with a very severe case of the flu. I'm talking about at home, in bed, for a week, feeling like I was going to die. That kind of flu, twice a year, every year. I thought it was natural, normal, until I started learning about natural health and talking to the NDs and the CNHPs and the herbologists and all these wonderful people, wonderful, wonderful people, angels is what I call them. And they started telling me about the way things are supposed to work, and I realized that, whoa, the government actually gave me this, because as a child being raised on the farm, I drank organic food, or I mean, I drank clean spring-fed water, organic food out of the garden. We raised our own cattle. We raised our own, at different times, chickens and things like that. Okay, so it was all organic, because we didn't do any of that stuff with
herbicides and pesticides and hormones and hormonal growth or animal growth hormone and all those nonsensical things. We didn't even know about all that stuff. So I didn't know it, but I was being raised organically. And I had tremendously good health until the Air Force got a hold of me. Okay? So I have lived exactly what I'm telling you, because I've seen it work in my own life, and I've seen it work in many other people's lives as well. So that's the beautiful part of it. Even though the enemy can lie and cheat and steal and convince you to put a poison in your body, there are things you can do to defend yourself from it. Now, I will say one thing. Ever since the 70s, the poisons and the amount of toxins that are in these vaccines has gone up considerably. But even with the bad stuff that was there back then, that in the 70s, when I went natural and got back to being totally organic, my body detoxified, and now I'm back to where I was as a child and as a young man, to where I don't get sick. Almost never get sick. And I certainly don't get that case of the flu like I got after those flu shots. But the other beautiful thing is, when I do occasionally feel like I've got a bug, it's minor. The effects of that bug are minor compared to what it used to do to me. So you see, there are ways around it. And again, that's why we work together as a team. We share information. We pass it around. We discover new things. We try it. But we keep a clean conscience and a clean heart as we do these things. That's why he said, be as wise as the serpent. What's that mean? Okay, well, the serpent uses his intellect and his ability to do things for evil. So we want to have the same kind of wisdom of the evildoers, but be as innocent as doves. In other words, our motives and our fruit will be righteous. So we take the beauty of this world and we show people how to make it a better world and make us better people. They take the items of this world and use it to degrade this earth and degrade nature and degrade humanity. They are evil beyond imagination. That's why the prophets told us when Obadiah 18 and Malachi 4 finally come around, our people will have no mercy on these troublemakers. When the righteous finally have had enough of this garbage and they rise up in mass and at arms, just as Ezekiel 37 says, that valley of dead and dry bones will rise up and become a what? A vast and mighty army. Doesn't say a vast and mighty Peace Corps. It doesn't say a vast and mighty conservative or a vast and mighty army of soy boys going around and, would you please stop being so bad? Because, you know, all it takes is love. Love conquers all. God is love, and we should love our enemies. Where does it say that? Oh, in your English Bibles. Oh, yeah, there are some words that you could take that way. Yeah, yeah. Love your enemies, turn the cheek and all that. But there's a slight problem with that. The scriptures weren't written in English. A lot of them weren't even written in Greek. They were originally written in Aramaic and Hebrew. And then they were translated into Greek. And then the Greek was translated into English, German, French, Spanish, Gaelic. So we are quite a few years from the originals, aren't we? And the originals didn't say that. It doesn't say, and your common sense should tell you there's something wrong with that. Turn my cheek to somebody who's my enemy? Turn my cheek to people that hate me and my family and trying to do us harm and pray for them? Why would you do that? I pray for my enemies, but I pray imprecatory prayer. I pray curses on my enemies. I've prayed for over 20-some years for these lying preachers in these churches, these whitewashed sepulchers. I've prayed for them to be cursed with illness and disease and cancer, anything that will take them out of the pulpit because they spread poisonous lies to the sheep. They're leading the sheep to the slaughter, in other words. Why would I pray any kind of beneficial prayer? Somebody, well, Dan, don't you want them to be converted? Yeah, I wish they would stop being such asses and teaching lies and deception. Yeah, that would be nice. I don't see it happening, though. The World Council of Churches and the all the leadership of like the Methodist and Presbyterian, and I did hear recently the Presbyterian and Methodist churches are in a civil war right now. This whole world is in a civil war. We are split down the middle. So now half of the Presbyterian churches and half of the Methodist churches have said, I've had enough. Same thing is happening in the Catholic Church. People are finally realizing the Pope and the hierarchy of the Catholic Church are Satanists. And they're walking away from it. In most Protestant denominations, many of the people are realizing that these people, these creatures they call preachers, especially these cucks and these soy boys and girls that call themselves preachers, they're really not. They don't represent the Father. They represent the status quo. They represent the regime that wants to enslave mankind. They don't represent the Father. Not any way, shape, or form. And it's a shame their congregations actually sit there and listen to their drivel week after week. I mean, I don't know how you stand it. I can't go to a modern-day church. I wouldn't step foot in one. They're disgusting. It'd be like going to a rock concert or going to a Madonna concert or any of these other so-called entertainers and celebrities. I couldn't stand to be around them. Just hearing them speak grates on my nerves, just like these politicians when they stand up there and pontificate about how they're going to make things better and give away more free stuff in our Marxist society. I don't want to be around them. They're liars. Or people like Dr. Oz. How many people think Dr. Oz is such a great guy? You know he's a hypocrite, right? He's a hypocrite. He sits there and talks to people about getting vaccinated, but his own wife and children are not vaccinated. He actually said that in an interview. It's on, you can YouTube it or Google it and find it. Yeah, Dr. Oz, the same one that gets on there, typical of the hypocrisy of Satan's kids. So his own family won't do it. Now, people said, well, I watched an episode where Dr. Oz actually got the vaccine on camera. Do you think for 1 minute that there was actually a vaccine in that syringe? Do you really believe that? You haven't watched many movies, have you? They can produce anything in front of a camera. And you think that this guy who knows that vaccines are poisons, his own family doesn't take them, but you actually believe he stuck a syringe full of that poison and put it in his body? What's that commercial where that guy comes up there and says, you're a special kind of stupid, aren't you? Yeah. If you believe that, you're a special kind of stupid. No, these creatures who represent the New World Order and this cabal trying to enslave mankind, they're not going to put that stuff in your body, or in their body, I should say. All right? I know for thousands of years, if we saw it with our eyes, you could say that that was reality. And for thousands of years, it was true. Because we didn't have modern technology, or as the scripture says it, the image maker of the beast that could make a man appear alive though he were dead. Well, you have it today. Okay, how many movies have actually been finished where the leading individual, like John Candy and Bruce Lee, they died before the movie was actually finished? They died, and yet the movie still had them in it. Now, how did they do that? Well, computer-generated images, CGI. They could do it with green screen or blue screen. I think it's green screen they use now. All right, so computer-generated images and all this stuff, they can actually create a image on a screen representing the person that passed away. So you're sitting in the audience, you think that the individual actually was in the scene and finished the movie, when that's not what happened at all. You see how that works? So you got to be very careful, folks. It's no longer true just because your eyes see it that is what's really going on, because a lot of stuff is staged today. It's even worse when it comes to the audio, like in radio broadcasting and even some of these, like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh, these other types. You have to be very careful. There's a lot of deceivers out there. But the good news is the Father does not abandon it, and He gives you what He promised, the Holy Spirit, to witness to you about what's real and what isn't. And you should learn how to trust on that. Now, there's a big push right now to go completely cashless. I heard that in China, they're pushing very, very hard or shutting it down. Sweden's already there, from what I understand. So the idea of getting away of cash, of course, is all financial transaction will be monitored by the beast. All financial transactions will be monitored by the international cartel, and you won't be able to hide any of your wealth from the tax man or from the confiscators. Because you've got to remember, the government is acting just like a beast. Look at these police, the police state and the police state mentality. All right. Just got a note here. It says, hello, to the supporter. Thank you. But the scripture refers to the beast in terms of an animal because that's just how it acts. What do governments do once they become, quote, the government, and they get you used to being the servants of the government? They work night and day to stay in power. Just like a beast, they want to stay alive. And they will tear and render, rape, murder, and pillage to do it. They have the survival instinct of a wild animal. Now, how do you tame a beast like that? Do you coerce it? Do you reason with it? Or do you use force? Just picture yourself in the jungle and a tiger or a lion or a rhinoceros or an elephant or a jackal is coming your way. Okay? What would you do? Would you placate it? Would you reason with it? Or would you do everything possible to either, one, scare it away and show force to where it will leave you alone? However, if it will not leave you alone, then everything you have at your disposal you would use to destroy it. Our founding fathers understood this. That's why so many of them are quoted such quotes as, if the government, the central government, ever fails to secure our rights to life, liberty, and property, then it is our right to alter, reform, or even abolish it as we see fit, because we are the people that are important, not government. We, the people, are the source of all power. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, that's not true, Dan, because they can come and knock your door down. Well, yeah, an individual, they can. But they can't do it to the mass. They don't have the numbers. They don't have that kind of power. Their power lies in their deceptions. Okay? They are deceivers. And their power lies in keeping you brainwashed to think that you have no choices and that you must obey and that you remain fearful. Okay? Fearful.
All righty, we've got area code 846. Welcome to the program.
Oh, how you doing, Pastor? This is Tommy.
Oh, Tom? Welcome to the program.
Yeah, Tom. 845, I guess. I don't know why it said 846.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just listening in real quick, and I'm sure you noticed what's going on in Greece.
Yes.
And this is nothing new. This is just getting more frequent. And now, did you see the one video where this one government thug ran over a protester on a moped that was riding on a moped? And as soon as that happened, a bunch of people that are already being shot at by the government thugs. I'm not going to call them by the name anymore because that's all they are, is government thugs. And they ended up throwing some kind of firebomb at the cop. And the guy was running off like a little like that. It was just like people have had enough.
Yeah,
they've had enough.
Yeah, and it started because of the massive immigration to that area of Greece has ruined their tourist industry,
which destroyed it.
Yeah, they destroyed the livelihoods of the people in that area.
Yeah, but the tourism's dead there. I've never been to those islands, but my mom, dad, and cousins and everybody, Chios, Lesbos, they are some of the most popular tourist islands in the world. And like about 90% of the people's income comes from the tourism.
Yeah, and the Greek government, like so many governments, don't give a damn about the people. They're doing whatever the New World Order elitists tell them to do.
Well, interestingly enough, the Greek military showed up, and they've been cracking heads, and not the Greeks. They've been cracking a lot of these invaders' heads. There was a video showing, it was like 7-8 of these cockroaches, that's what they are. And they're complaining, oh, they beat us up, they took our money. Well, yeah, they should take your money because you're here illegally. You're invading another country. They should take it. They should beat the crap out of them and send them packing. I'm furious. I'm absolutely furious. And the interesting part is that I've noticed a trend all over the world. Every single country that's affected by the New World Order, all their police are always hammering on their own people. They're not hammering on these invaders. They're hammering on their own people, and people are rising up.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tommy. Many years ago, my oldest son was graduating from high school, and he was going to go to college, and he wanted to become go into law enforcement. And I sat him down and told him I would not recommend that, and he said, "Why not?" And so we took a half hour or so, and I explained to him what I saw, what my vision for the future was, which is exactly what you're describing right now. I said, there's going to come a day when the people will have had enough, and they're going to lash out at every symbol of this totalitarian order, and they will destroy it. And And he said, "Well, I'll be a good one." And I said, "An angry mob isn't going to stop to question you and ask you whether you were a good or a bad one."
No, not at all. And the interesting part about all this is it's getting more frequent, and just like the John Mark videos talk about, and Kurt Doolittle's been predicting this for years, and he firmly believes it's going to be this year. Reading just from some of his posts, and people are he's like, "I think it's going to be this year, or maybe slightly after next year, but I think it's this year." There's just so many factors involved. You got the economy, you have you have the election, you have all these things, and as pissed that I am at Trump, at the same time, it's funny looking at him just embarrassing these Marxists. He's embarrassing them. I mean, it, granted, he's controlled to, himself to to a high degree. However, he's mocking them, but just out in the open, and it's hilarious. And I'm actually enjoying watching the Marxists just eat each other, because what's going to happen is they're impulsive. They're impulsive, and they're going to do even more stupider things. They have pedo Joe Biden saying that he's going to have Beto O'Rourke, the Beta cop, come after our guns. Oh, okay, great. That's nice. So now there's a face. It's not just some bureaucrat in the ATF or something. That's just arbitrarily changing rules all the time. No, they have a face to it. So God forbid they get in, which I don't think they're going to get in, through the regular electoral process. They're going to cheat. They're only going to win in the 17 states that they have controlled. They're only going to win in 17 states. The interesting part is people have not gotten this yet. They have not realized that there are going to be two presidents if this election goes on. There will be probably Trump again in the what's 17 minus 50, brain math here, 37 states, or no, I'm sorry, 33 states. The 33 states that are probably going to stay red are going to go to the original system if it still lasts. And if it still does, the Constitution will be amended. And I'm sure you saw the articles, articles 1 through 3 that Kirk Doolittle have put up there, and he says this is an upgrade to the Constitution. It needs it badly. This is exactly what the problems are. This is what it is. And people are waiting on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is not going to do a damn thing. They're not going to do a thing for us. They're not going to do a thing for us. I mean, there's only two justices on there that are decent. It's Thomas and Gorsuch. I mean, I watched Chrisanne Hall last night, and she doesn't have very much faith in Kavanaugh whatsoever. She's like, that's Kennedy 2.0.
Right.
And I'm like, that's food for thought. And the interesting part is you had Chuck Schumer came out in an article literally threatening the Supreme Court about abortion, literally threatening them. You're threatening the Supreme Court? And this guy's still able to walk? What is going on?
Right.
I mean, we're seeing a dictatorship unfold right in front of us, and you're seeing the backlash of it. So not only do you see the Second Amendment rallies all over the place, you're seeing the things going on in Greece, you're seeing things going on in France. I mean, the firefighters in France were literally hosing down the cops. It was great. I loved it because I was like, wow, the firefighters are on the people's side.
Right.
They know what's going on. They're like, they know exactly how corrupt the cops are. There were some cops that stood with the people, but not enough. I mean, there has to be a big shaking in police everywhere for them to just be like, all right, we're not taking this anymore. We're not going to be the slave drivers. I was listening the other night. If you ever heard of, a podcast called Prepping 2.0. Highly recommend you listen to them. Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher, they do really good interviews. They've interviewed John Mark before. They interviewed Matt Brackett. You've ever heard of Matt Brackett? He lives down in Florida.
Yeah, he's the former spook.
He was a Navy SEAL.
Oh, Navy SEAL, that's it. You're right, Navy SEAL.
He wrote the books. It was called Enemies Foreign and Domestic. And he predicted what civil war would look like in this country. This was like 2009 or something like that. Very smart man. And listening to his hypothesis of what's going to happen, he says is the civil war that's going to happen in this country very, 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 very soon is going to be similar to what it was in Sarajevo, in Kosovo, kind of like what Thomas Chittum wrote about as well.
Yeah.
And he said it's a dirty civil war, which means, people are going to be sniped everywhere they're going, that kind of thing. Similar to what the IRA was doing to the British military. They held them up for over 30 years. A few hundred people spread out all over the place. I mean, this is going to get big. And the thing is, it's not just going to be one group. This is just going to be your normal Joe Schmo people who got laid off, who got red flagged, who got, I mean, even some leftists, I think, are going to end up joining with some people, because they're going to see, some smart leftists are going to actually see the real game, what's going on. They're going to break off from the radical left. I do see that happening. Of course, not all of them, because most of the left are just completely deranged psychopaths. But there are some on the that can be reasoned with, and I think a lot of them see eye to eye on certain things. On other things, they're not going to agree on. But I think, towards the common enemy, the man they call it, they're going to want to take down the man as well, just as much as the right wing will. The thing is, the right wing right now, in my opinion, is just writing things. I think they're just preparing, stretching things out enough, just prepare. Where most of the normies are just going about their day like nothing's happening, and they're not preparing, at least. I mean, now's the time to prepare. I mean, while there's still power, where there's still food.
Yep.
I mean, they're saying the economy could literally tank tomorrow for whatever reason. And that's not coming from mainstream media. Mainstream media is like, oh, the economy is the best ever, and blah. Well, of course they're going to say that. And they're not doing it to make Trump look good. They're only doing it because most of the stockholders are wanting to hear good news all the time. Because if they don't, the people at the news stations are going to get fired the next day. So...
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of people under the impression that the economy is doing really well, and I'm like, be really careful with that, because it's not doing as well as you think it is.
Yeah, you're right about that. Hey, we got a caller from Midland, Texas. We'll bring him onto the call here.
Hello, Pastor Dan.
Hey, Midland. All right. Is that Curtis?
Hey, good. It's Curtis. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Your volume's up quite a bit.
Oh, my! I plugged in my headphones. Let me take them off.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to input that everything that I can think of is essentially a lie compared to Yahweh. And that I do my best, but no matter what, as a man, I'm a liar. And what I do my best, but this is my input today, is that there's some people that are very wealthy, that are the elites, and there's no middle class anymore. And there's just no people in the middle. I know some poor people that are just absolute bad guys, you know what I mean? They don't try. They don't try at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the government just says, hey, Go live like hell, and we won't bother you. But if you try to move up the level, if you're middle class, you try to move up, you're going to be punished. You want a civilized world, but you're not the elite. And the elite, they're on the side of the Democrat and the establishment. And those on the bottom, the middle, we want to just kind of struggle and move along, but we just can't. We can't really make it quite. We don't really meet up to the standard of the elite. So if we say, hey, the whole world's messed up, go to the elite and say that, they're not going to listen because, we're kind of messed up somehow compared to the elite, the ones that with the billions of dollars. And everybody wants to be in the side of the camp of the elite. So everybody wants to work for them. You know what I'm talking about, that, Pastor Dan?
Yeah, and it's talked about in Scripture, and it was also talked about by the Founding Fathers and the philosophers that they referred to when they drafted the organic documents for this country. The principle you're talking about is the fact that your money is to be controlled by the people, and the people who represent you, meaning your racial family, which is exactly what the Founding Fathers said, is your representatives that you elect and hold accountable to you are to issue and control the currency, because then it's used for the benefit of the actual people. Well, we gave that away in 1913 to a bunch of international bankers with no loyalty to us racially or culturally, and they have been using that Babylonian money system to bring down Western civilization. Exactly what they're doing. So because they control what's used for currency, even though it's all digital now, they control it, and as long as they control it and people think that they have to do what these Zionists tell them in order to survive, that will work until the day comes when we realize we can walk away from that and start over again, create our own nation, our own currency, and work for ourselves and stop supporting the beast.
Nailed it. That's perfect. Poetic.
And it's talked about in the book of Revelation. That's exactly what Revelation is talking about when it says that Babylon burns in a short period of time. Babylon burns to the ground, and it's the merchants and the rulers who are weeping and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't say you and I are. It says the people sitting at the top. You called them elites. They're not really elite. They're criminals. These governmental, bureaucratic criminals and these banker and corporatocracy people, these CEOs and international corporation heads, they're all in bed together. They're all part of the show and the scam. They're all getting filthy rich off of us thinking that their system is the only way to go. They will fall overnight in a short period of time when we realize we don't need their gosh darn system at all. We can step away from it if we work together, like towns in like Ithaca, New York. And at one time I had the list, there was like 50 or 60 other communities in America that for decades have been running on their own local currency. And their local economy is bulletproof. Every recession that you and I have gone through, every bouncing around of the stock exchange that we've gone through has not affected the local economies of towns like Ithaca, New York. Why? Because they have their own local currency. So, okay, now if you wanted to go down to Walmart and get something, obviously your local currency isn't going to do you a hell of a lot of good. But if you needed food, water, a job, a haircut, or a CPA to look at your taxes, or talk to a lawyer, or get a medical exam, the local people accepted the local currency. That portion of the economy flows without interruption. Only when you want to get something from the internationalists was it a problem. So, you see, that's where we have to put thinking caps on. We have to repent, which means rethink. Do we want to be part of the beast system? Or are we willing to give up some of the little glitz and glitter of the Walmarts and the Kmarts and the Sears and the international corporate structure and deal with basics, get back to basics? And if we can do that, we can destroy beast. The beast needs us. We don't need the beast. That's the beautiful part. But we have to do some rethinking. We have to repent, which is what that means, rethink our priorities, and understand who we are, what we're here for, and that if we work together as a team, there's not a thing they can do. Because it all relies on deception, and you're honoring their fake, phony money system. As soon as you can come out of that, like the Amish have done from day one, some of the Mennonite communities do it that way, and towns like Ithaca, when those local people figured it out, they didn't make a big fuss about it. They just simply said, well, we'll have some of your Federal Reserve notes, your promissory notes. Yeah, we'll keep some of them around. But we're going to have, in parallel to that, a system of script, which is, they call them Ithaca hours. And they're issued by the local people, controlled by the local people. That's exactly what the Founding Fathers wanted for us. Your currency should be controlled at the local level, not by international bankers. They don't give a damn about you and your family. They don't even give a damn about this nation. They think globally. All they want is slaves for the plantation and to keep you as a perpetual consumer. That's all they care about. And that's why the book of Revelation makes it very clear that when we decide that we're not going to play in their ball field anymore, according to their rules, that we're going to go back to our Father and we're going to live according to His rules, their game is over. They have no more power at that point. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. You cleared up a lot for me. Thanks, Pastor Dan.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Praise Yahweh. Yep. You see, that's the beauty of this whole thing. What's going on right now, it's not really complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just fundamental, rational, which is exactly what Kurt Doolittle and John Mark are talking about, very fundamental, rational things. But you have to have the backbone, the courage, the faith to put it into action. Okay? And earlier I was talking about my own life with my health, okay? It was one thing to know what the scripture and what the naturopathic doctors told me would make my body healthier and better. It's one thing to know it. It was quite different to put it into practice. Because at that period of time, I thought shrimp tasted great. I would eat a pork chop once in a while. Now, that was a long time ago. And as soon as I found out what the word really said about it, thanks to Pastor Pete Peters, I stopped it. That night, I stopped it. All the pork in the refrigerator went in the trash can. All the unclean went in the trash can. And I haven't had it since. Okay. That required faith, and it required action. Was it easy? Well, at first it wasn't. I mean, I have to admit, it was kind of disheartening to take all that expensive food and just throw it in a trash can. And there was even a part of me thought, wow, that stuff really tastes good. But the bigger part of me said, I'm not going to put that poison in my body. And was my reward instantaneous? Well, there was a small reward, just the good feeling of knowing you did something right. But the bigger reward came later as I saw my health improve. And I saw my relationship with our Heavenly Father improve. Because I wasn't that upstart, snot-nosed kid that thinks he knows better than Father. And I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat and do whatever I want. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to blame God for all my problems. Instead, it was, I was wrong. I repent of that. I ask forgiveness. And I'm going to attempt for the rest of my life to never violate your law again. Big difference, you see. Now the Father can look at me and bless me. The Father can say, you know, Danny's making a good attempt here. He's not perfect, but he's getting it. He understands. He's trying. It's just like your own children. When they're acting like impotent little brats, they're still your children, but you don't quite have that good relationship. You don't have that pride, and you know, they don't bring you joy until they repent, as some of my children did in years past, and they say, you know, Dad, I thought you were, like, overbearing and mean, and you didn't want me to have any fun, but now that I'm older, I realize that, you know, you weren't really that wrong, and I'm going to go back to what you taught me. Now, all of a sudden, it changes. Now, instead of being wearisome and forlorn over what my children were going to go through, because I knew what was going to happen, now I can be happy and I can be proud and I can honor them as well. So instead of holding back blessings and financial gifts and things like that, now I cheerfully can give it to them because they're walking the walk and not in a state of rebellion. So our earthly families are a microcosm of our heavenly Father's family with us. You see what I'm saying? There's a parallel there. It's exactly the same. And too many of our people think that Yahweh is like a genie in a bottle. All they got to do is at night say a little short prayer that's like rubbing the side of that genie, the vessel with the genie in it, rubbing the sides of it, and you're going to get whatever you ask for. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, yeah, I'm disobedient, and I've ignored your law, and I haven't taught anybody the truth, and I'm still supporting the New World Order, but I really would like $10,000 more in my pay, and I need a new car, and you know, this house just isn't big enough. So, Father, grant me these things. See, they think he's a genie in a bottle. That's not the way it works. The rewards come with the showing of faith and the works. Everybody says works are dead. No, works aren't dead. Faith is dead if there are no works. That's the truth. If your faith doesn't have any works to show for it, you don't have any faith. That's ridiculous to sit there and say, well, I'm saved. I said the sinner's prayer, and so I'm good to go for the rest of my life, Dan. I said that there prayer. I felt the Holy Spirit come down and anoint me, and I'm just good to go. I can be a complete jackass. I can eat what I want, but I'm good to go. Well, let me know how it works out for you, because that's not the way it actually does work. It doesn't work. If you want the Father's blessing, you got to take a step in faith. You got to put that faith into your heart and your mind. You got to put your mind to the fact that you're going to do the best you can do. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect. Doesn't mean that there will never be a rainy day in your life. That's not what it means. What it means is that you're going to give it your best effort. And you will know that the Father will walk with you. He never, ever abandons us. Never. We are the weak link in that chain all the time. We are the weak link. But he does not abandon us. He may not give you what you want, but he will see to it that you get what you need. There's a big, big difference. People today can't differentiate between the two. They think just because they want something that justifies a need. That's not true. Father says, I'll see to it that you will have the things that you need. I've got ginger growing out here in the woods. I've got turmeric and curcumin growing out here in the woods. I've got needles, different needle plants. I've got mahang. I've got saw palmetto. They're growing right over there. So when you've got a prostate problem, or you've got urinary tract infection, or you've got cancer, I've got things growing right over here that'll take care of it. But you know what? You're going to have to go out in the woods and get it. Or go to the farmer that's dug it up and he's got them dried out in his shed out back. Somehow, some way, you've got to take some kind of action. But if you think going down to the doctor and getting the pharmaceutical poisons is the way to go, well, then that's not the kind of faith that he's talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a few cases and emergencies where sometimes you don't have a choice for like an antibiotic or whatever. That's a personal choice. That's between you and the Father, because there are occasions where there's an exception, okay? We're talking in generalities tonight. But there are, so don't get me wrong, there are times when, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, but that's between you and the Father. I'm talking in general, okay? So as we see things falling apart, there's a good side to this. A lot of people don't understand that. There's a good side to this. We've become spoiled children in this society. Spoiled. And part of what's happening is, and it's happened in my own life, as he's taken the resources away from me that I used to have, I've gone back to my early teens and early 20s and figured out how to stretch a dollar again. Or just do without. Or, like, I drive an old beat-up truck, and I live in a mobile home, and I don't have a lot of cash, so I can't go spend a lot of money. So it's changed my life dramatically, but that doesn't mean it's bad. I'm actually happier without all that stuff to worry about. And I know people don't like me because of the things I own, because I don't own anything. And I sure as hell don't have any money to give anybody. So if they're my friends, they're my friends because they're legitimate friends, not because they're just Sunshine Patriot or Sunshine Friends trying to get a favor or trying to get a benefit or some cash or whatever. See what I mean? So the scripture, it says, everything works to the good for those who love the Father. That scripture is very true. Even though we may not see it today, the day will come when you will understand that absolutely everything works to your benefit at some point if you truly love the Father. That's the catch. We got a lot of people that say they're believers and love the Father. They really don't. Because if you don't have any fruit, if it hasn't changed your life, then you're just kidding yourself, folks, if you think that's real faith. Real faith changes you. Changes your attitude, the way you think, the things you do, the way you speak. And it also shows by whether you're afraid all the time or you have courage. Did I lose you guys?
No, we're here.
Oh, okay. I guess I got my soapbox out. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all good. Actually get a little late over here myself. I have to hop off, but I just wanted to chime in a little while ago. Just give my two cents of things.
I appreciate it, Tommy, because I definitely thought of you as I was reading the stories about what's going on in Greece, since I know that's your...
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's your heritage. I've got several friends that way on my... in my circle of communications. Biophilus, he's living over there right now, as a matter of fact. He's from South Florida, but he spends a lot of time over in Greece, and a lady named Elena is over in Greece right now, too. So we communicate quite a bit about what's going on over there.
Yeah. It's I'm glad to see the people standing up. Because, you know, enough is enough. I mean, I remember I went over there in 2001, crossing into 2002, and they were just transitioning over to the euro, and it's just been, it's night and day. The country's never been the same ever since. The issue with everything is that it jacked up the prices of everything, and you can't turn a country like that that's been doing things for thousands of years into this globalist slave country. It's not going to work out well. So I'm glad to see that they're standing up, and I predict that there's going to be a lot of escalation over there, and there's going to be demands. And I think there's going to be a resolution soon they're going to vote on to say they're going to leave the EU, and they're going to demand United States either pick them or Turkey to stay in NATO, because that's also another problem right there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the whole world's in travail, like we said. It's because these are unnatural things. The European Union's an unnatural thing, much like the United Nations, unnatural thing. Mm-hmm. A large central government here in the United States, Canada, and the other Western countries, it goes against what the Founding Fathers said and goes against biblical law, which is most government should be at the local level, not at some large, monstrous central government. That's a communist concept. Mm-hmm. So, and people are starting to wake up to that. So anytime you have two directly opposite forces involved, there's going to be a conflict at some point.
Oh yeah, I think the peaceful talks nonsense time is over. I think boog time is about to hit. That's just my prediction.
Well, you're not alone in that, Tommy, not by a long shot. I read a lot of stuff, and it's interesting. A lot of the stuff I get is from military guys. Many of them are retired now, but it's military guys, especially military guys with intelligence backgrounds. A lot of them are aware of what's going on, trust me.
Oh, they know what's up.
yeah, they recognize it.
Let's just say a lot of them have been preparing for especially what's going on this year, and they all firmly believe that the big change is coming. So
yeah, that's for sure. There's no doubt about the fact that there's a big change coming. It's just a question of how this all plays out.
Well, Trump is the last Republican president, just like Ann Coulter says. I think he's the last president in this current system.
Yeah, we're going to come apart at the seams very soon.
Yep.
I agree.
I think Kurt's constitution, it's going to gain massive steam, and it makes a lot of sense. And he did take out some things just to make it much simpler and just be like, you know what? You know, let's, like the Second Amendment part, he took out the thing with exempting explosives and that kind of thing, because he talked to military guys and they all told him, look, take that out, because anything you can carry, the militia needs. And he's like, okay, no problem. So he listens to feedback and all that. And
well, that's good.
You saw in the video.
Yeah. That's a sign of a statesman.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a gentleman right there.
Yep.
Well, listen, I'm gonna hop off over here. Always a pleasure talking to you and listening. And I look forward to calling Sunday if I can make it.
Sounds good, Tommy. You take care. Yahweh bless, buddy.
Yes, sir. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Take care. Bye. You still with me there, Kurt?
Yes, I am. I'm still here. I got on my permit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, good. Somehow this call-in program I have on the email doesn't work for me, so I'm calling from my cell phone. I tried using it, but I'm going to see if I can fix it. But I'll put some again, just trying to fix the call-in from the computer. It seems my computer don't have an audio system of some sort.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, that could be. That's one thing nice about the newer computers. They all have the built-in speakers and microphones and sometimes even video. All that stuff's built into them, so makes it a lot easier. We lost you there, bud. I don't hear anything now.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Oh, let me see. Let me turn on my phone.
Now it's normal.
Oh, okay. I might have just pushed the volume button on and off. I'll push that.
Well, technology is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, more can go wrong.
As long as it's working for us and it doesn't break, it's great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, plastic, petroleum.
Yeah. Well, the world's changing, that there's no doubt about it, and folks need to be up on what's going on. But the main thing is to be prepared. We've talked about that for years, back to basics, and have a supply on hand. At a minimum, everybody should have a 3-month supply. If everything just completely shuts off, electricity, water, internet, phones, gas trucks, roads, you name it, everything comes to a screeching halt. You should have enough to sit tight in your house for a minimum of 3 months. That's the basics. Whatever that is, whatever it is. If you've got a huge appetite, well, then you better have more food than your neighbor. For those of us that have learned to be minimalists and eat a very skimpy diet, it doesn't take as much. So whatever it takes for you and your household to survive for 3 months. And besides that, like I tell people, I was raised in Amish country. Every farmhouse in the area I lived in had a stocked pantry. That was common. It was uncommon to see a home that didn't have 3, 4, 5 months worth of food in the basement or in the root cellar or in the pantry. My grandfather's, I had two grandfathers. One was a dairy cattleman. The other one was a beef cattleman. And both of them had pantries and smoked meat hanging everywhere and stuff like that. I mean, so if there was a disruption, it wasn't going to affect them a whole lot. The wives had canned goods and canned meats in the pantry and sacks of flour, and out in the root cellar there would be potatoes and carrots and different things like that. So, you know, there's some common sense things to do, and it used to be everybody did it, but today we've been spoiled to think that nothing's going to ever go wrong and the store will always have tons of food. And That's just not the proper attitude. So.
No. Just gotta the drive, the competition to grow up and compete's not there. It used to be, you know, I want to be tougher than the next guy. I want to arm wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to compete like they once did and grow up faster.
Well, we took away one of the things that makes our boys become men, and that's competition, that's struggle, that's effort, and sometimes failure teaches you to work harder, to be better. I remember I tried out for a little league team my first year out. I was a little bit older. I was a 12-year-old, which is the last year for little league, and my brother had tried out. He got picked up as a pitcher for his team, and they actually didn't pick me, and that was disheartening. But I kept going to tryouts, and I kept going to the ball field, and all of a sudden one day little league team, the Giants, the coach came over to me and said, "Dan, I need a catcher. You want to be my catcher?" I said, "Well, sure." And so I got a uniform that day, and I became the catcher for the Giants. And I played ball for the rest of Little League, Teener League, Summer League, and high school. So yeah. Lots and lots of ball games after that. So the thing of it is, you don't give up just because there's a setback or a bump in the road. You don't ever give up. You keep trying. You keep making yourself better. You look for what you may have done to be a part of that hiccup or that bump in the road, and you work on getting over it. It makes you a better person. And here's another thing that people have forgotten. When you go through that, like I did, there was disappointment, and I was somewhat sad because I thought I was a decent ball player. When it turns around, how much sweeter the victory is. If it comes easily, it's esteemed lightly. Whereas if there's a struggle to get to that point, how much sweeter the victory is, you see? And we've taken that away from the children by them never getting their feelings hurt and never being challenged and boys never getting into a fist fight or struggle. I can't tell you how many times I had older boys grab me on the playground and haul me off into a corner and do things to me. Now, obviously, they didn't break any bones or yeah, crush me, but they would, you know, they'd thump on my head or poke me and ridicule me or whatever. And yeah, okay, it wasn't fun, but it didn't kill me. And it made me work harder to get stronger, to get bigger, and then when I got a little bit older, they left me alone, because I was bigger than they were. So it's, you know, again, we keep thinking we're making things better by taking away some of the things that makes us who we are and makes us learn to be the men that Yahweh intends us to be. He doesn't want us to be cucks. He doesn't want us to be little soy boys and girls. That's not what he wants. That's not in Scripture. It's not even common sense. We are never. Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt. I interrupted you, but I just something came to my mind, and I just something came to my heart. I wanted to say it, and I think it's just a feeling of gratitude. You say, man, I am so thankful to be a free man, to be able to do what I want, and kind of keeps me going. I did it. What's next?
Yeah, exactly. What reward is it if your efforts are so massaged and protected that you're guaranteed success, whereas, and you're never going to fail because the system won't allow it, because the system will step in if there's competition or somebody who would challenge you, and they'll stop it because they don't want your feelings hurt. Okay, what reward is there for that if there's no effort, if there's no chance of failure? It's the chance of failure that makes it exciting and rewarding at the same time. Okay, I went out onto the football field. There was never a day, I played baseball and football, there was never a day that I didn't realize that the coach could set me on the bench. That's what drove me to play the hardest and the best baseball and football I could play. Because I knew the coach, there was no guarantee. If I faltered, if I didn't work hard enough, I'd get benched. I didn't want to be benched. I wanted to play. And I wanted the respect of my teammates. I wanted them to say, Daniel, that was a good block. Or that play worked because you got out there and you blocked the guy that you were supposed to do. We all worked as a team, and we succeeded. My senior year in high school, our football team was undefeated. That was quite an accomplishment. That was the first year that high school ever had an undefeated football team. So, again, you rob the children, especially the boys, of what it takes to learn to be a man when you give them everything and you take away the competition, you take away the fact that it could fail. That's garbage. That's garbage. And shame on us for falling into that trap, that whole progressive idea, that anti-Christ, atheist John Dewey and the rest of that cabal that got this whole modern education system going. They were anti-Christs. They were atheists and anti-Christ. They hated the founding fathers. They hated the whole concept of the Bible. So why in the world we bought into it, I have no idea. You still there, Curtis?
Still am.
Oh, okay.
I interrupted you there. I said, oh, I was cheaters. I didn't mean that.
Oh. Well, like I said, now you're out there on West Central Texas, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm way west. Matter of fact, I'm where Betty O'Rourke is, about 200 miles east of 150 miles east of El Paso.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's some flat land out there, isn't it?
The land's cheap.
What's that?
The land is cheap out in the desert.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yep. Well, I lived in Texas for a spell. I lived in Granbury for a while, and I lived in Abilene for 3 years. So I'm a little bit familiar with the area. Beautiful state,
yeah,
in a lot of ways. A big state.
Yeah. Sad that society has become so narcissistic and selfish. They reward people to cheat all the time. These leftists, they glorify cheating and lying a lot and control. They get on top no matter what.
It's funny. There's a motto for the West Point cadets. It says that you will, or the motto of the cadet is, I will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor will I tolerate those that do. What a change in our society from the days that that motto was actually impressed upon the men of West Point. I have a feeling today that's not quite as true. So, but at least at one time, if you wanted to be a military cadet, you were, and just like General MacArthur and General Patton would say the same thing. Lying, cheating, and stealing are disrespectful and unworthy of a true officer in our military and in our leadership anywhere. Lying and cheating and stealing, they brag about it now. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, bragged in an interview about the fact when he was with the CIA that they took courses on lying, cheating, and stealing. Okay? Just the opposite. So people wonder why our country's in the shape it's in. Well, we've had a complete reversal, as the scripture says, that evil would be called good and good would be called evil. Well, lying, cheating, and stealing is evil, and yet today it's called good. Mike Pompeo thinks it's great, as long as I'm doing it for the government, okay? The spies and the assassins, they murder people, but it's good. As long as the government says to do it, it's good. That's Soleimani, okay? President Trump bragged about the fact that we used the drone strike to kill a leading figure of Iran and many Iraqis and other Iranian leaders with a drone strike. Bragged about it. Okay? And the American people clapped because the news told him that he was a bad guy. Trump says he was a bad guy. Does that make him a bad guy? What do you mean he's a bad guy? What the hell does that even mean? Well, he's a very bad guy. What the hell does that mean? He's a bad guy? He's an official of a sovereign nation. If he's so bad, why don't the people get rid of him? Okay? It's not our job to go over and assassinate the leaders of other sovereign nations. That's ludicrous. And it's even more sad that the American people so easily accept things like this just because Trump or somebody in the administration or the major news media says that, oh, they were a bad guy, so we had to go over and murder him. Really? When Messiah, our king, comes back and sits on his throne, how do you think it's going to go when they stand before his throne and have to give an accounting for doing that? How do you think it's going to go?
Yeah.
And the soldiers that were flying the drone and loaded the bomb and missile on there and cheered, and all the news media that lied and all the propaganda pieces that lied. I wonder how that's going to go. I have a feeling it's not going to go very well.
They just become so into being in control and showing off and being in control. They don't care about common sense anymore because common sense gets in the way of them being in control and charge. It's their way of having a nice car and showing off to everybody and saying, look at me. I have money to go to Walmart. I don't have what I just need, but this is me and this is how good I am and grand I am. And they feel that they're, that control is more important than common sense and honesty. As a people that want honesty, say, I want to make sense. I want a world where I know what's going on. I don't want a lot of chaos. Explains why there's a lot of chaos, too, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about at the end of the age there would be a great war between the children of light and the children of darkness. And those are idiomatic expressions in the Aramaic language that mean children of light means children of knowledge, truth, justice, versus the children of darkness who are ignorance, deceit, evil, wicked. Just the opposite. So children of light is also, or sometimes they'll say the children of God or the sons of God is also an expression of the men who represent the Father. Men who act and behave as if they are his representatives. They live according to his rules and nobody else's. That's the sons of God. So the sons of light and or God are going to be in a great battle and war with the wicked. And you can see that coming. Tommy was talking about that too. You can see it coming because there's a dichotomy in this world between the two spheres. Those that have a set of values that are more in line with nature and nature's God, and the others that have absolutely upside down logic and upside down values, completely opposite. And that's why they're called anti-Christ, anti-anointed, anti-Messiah. Okay, anti-Yahweh God, anti-nature, anti-normal. Everybody wants a new normal. Homosexuality is normal. No, it's not. Nowhere in the animal kingdom is it normal. If it was normal, the animals would do it. Animals don't do it. It's not normal. Okay, so stop pretending it is. Boys being turned into girls and girls turned into boys. That's not normal. It doesn't matter how you want to twist it. It's not normal. It's not rational. It's ridiculous. Interracial dating and marriage and creating mongrelized children. Sorry. It's not normal. And if it wasn't for modern medicine and intervention of modern medicine, a lot of those children would die from spontaneous abortion. That's a fact. Look it up. Look it up. It also explains why so many people have a lot of health issues, okay? A lot of these dogs, I tried to tell that to my sister. She had dogs from the mama and the papa were two different breeds of dogs. Well, the pups, she ended up keeping the five offspring, and every one of them was a mess. Between bones that were brittle, allergies, eye fissures, you name it. They were not normal. They weren't normal dogs. They all had problems. But if you try to talk to her about it and say, well, you know, you might have thought about that before you let the one breed with the other one. Well, you can't stop. Yeah, you can stop that. You don't give them access to each other. Go out in the woods somewhere and see if dogs do that on their own. No, they don't. Just like a wolf pack. You don't see a wolf pack. They look a lot like dogs. But you don't see wolves getting together with dogs. They don't do it on their own. Now, if you put them in a cage and lock them up together, you might get something like that. But in nature, without man interfering, they don't do it. So, you know, people just want to, they want to believe the lie. For some reason, they want to believe the lie. And usually it's because the men act more like women. They're very effeminate. Well, Dan, I have a friend down the street, and, you know, it's a mixed marriage, and I think the kids look really cute, and it seems to be really working for them. Of course, you're going to ignore the hundreds of cases where it's not working. But, you know, I have this one out of thousands of cases where it really seems like it's working. Oh, okay. So you're going to violate all the rules of nature because you have a friend who violated it and seems to have gotten away with it. But I got news for you. Most people don't get away with it. At some point in time, it's going to rear its ugly head. But people want to believe the lie. It's all emotionalism. It's all thinking with your heart instead of your head.
Yeah.
That's a way of describing an effeminate society. And our society today is very effeminate. It acts like a female would respond to things instead of rational men, like in the days of old. And that's all due to the propaganda that's out there. They're trying to talking about toxic masculinity and white men and this and white men that. Well, if you want to believe the brainwashing, it's unfortunate that you don't realize that white men created much of the world that we see around us. Much of the things that you people enjoy with your little toys and inventions and cars and all that stuff, they're here because of the work of white men. You may not like that, you may not like to admit that, but that's the facts. So sooner or later, people are going to have to reach the point where truth matters. They're not there yet. Some are getting there, but the vast majority aren't there yet, and they may never get there. That might be why Yeshua said when he was here, my flock is a little flock. In the book of Luke and elsewhere, you know, my flock is a tiny flock, because most of the people want to go the way of the world. So, but anyway, it's getting late, buddy, and it's almost bedtime. So I know you're what, Central Time out there?
It's Central Time.
Yeah, okay.
It's a little bit earlier out here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to close it up for tonight then, Curtis, and thanks for calling in, and you have a blessed evening, all right?
Sure. An organization is only as good as its supporters and people willing to give something to it. And I'm glad to give to the ministry. And
absolutely. It's much appreciated. Yeah, much appreciated, Curtis. Take care, buddy. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. And again, we thank Tommy and Curtis for calling in and sharing. And for the folks out there that do help us out from time to time, it's much, much appreciated. Again, we're a tiny outfit, and everything we do is tiny, but it gets a lot of results. It's amazing. Just like the Father told us. The truth does matter, and those who are willing to stand for the truth and be bold with the truth, you'd be surprised how far a little bit will go. It's amazing. So praise Yahweh for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share and to fellowship with one another. We thank you for the technology that allows us to do that, that we know that this technology is not always evil, that sometimes it can be used for good. We also know that there are evil people that will use any means to at their disposal to do their evil deeds. This world is in bad shape, Father, and it's waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Those sons need to realize who they are and stand up and make a difference in this world. We pray your Holy Spirit would be washed out across that valley of dead and dry bones across this earth, those bags of bones with no spirituality in them whatsoever. May they put the flesh upon flesh and bone upon bone and become real people, real men and women again, with spiritual natures and a concept of what's right and wrong that they have lost. We need to come back to you in an attitude of repentance, Father, and ask your forgiveness for our stumblings and for our turning our backs on you. Reach down with your Holy Spirit, Father, and bless those that love you and reach out to you, give them strength and courage, give them good discernment in these days of lies and deception. We also ask that you would wake the folks up and help us to do that, help us with the right words and the right things to say and do. And again, we ask, as we always do, that you would come soon and take your rightful place upon the throne. And watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.